Ephesians chapter 4 in your Bibles. I invite you to turn with me to that portion of the scripture. You may have forgotten that I began a series of sermons on the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and I haven't preached on one of the gifts since the last Sunday in November. In fact, I haven't preached on Sunday night since the last Sunday in November. We had a Christmas musical program, an ag team coronation, and then Kelly preached. And we just dismissed at Christmas for two Sundays. Then I was gone the last two. So this is the first time I've preached on Sunday night in quite a while. This morning was the first time I'd preached any time in 4 weeks. And I'm grateful to have a chance to preach again. I'm scared. I'm not joshing you when I say that now. It's been a while. However, I'm usually scared anyway. And I thought after I'd been preaching 12 years, I'd quit getting nervous. But that's not the case. It happens every time. Thank you, choir, and Ginger, Steve, and Deborah. Now, Ephesians chapter 4, let's look in verses 11, 12, and 13. I just want to read that for context and pick out one of these gifts and see if we can explain it and define it and illustrate it and maybe apply it. It was He who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Let me just give you a minute or two of review here, okay? There are approximately 18 or 20 spiritual gifts that are found in our scriptures, and some say there are others, but at least 18 or 20. But there are certain gifts that are more gifted men given to the church than they are gifts given generally. And such are these found here in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. They are apostles, prophets, evangelists, and then pastor teachers. And it's not pastors and teachers, as your English text says, but it's just pastors hyphen teachers. It's one gift, and there's sort of a two-pronged responsibility there, as we'll see tonight as we study the gift of being a pastor, a pastoring gift. But whatever, these gifted men are placed in the body of Christ for a purpose which is given for us in verse 12. And here's the purpose. The gifted men have as their responsibility the preparation of God's people, the equipping of the family of God for works of service, that the body of Christ may be built up. It's not a threefold ministry, as is sometimes thought, and as sometimes the impression is left sometimes by the King James Version because of the punctuation. I don't have a King James text here, but I think it reads something like this: for the equipping of the saints, comma, for the work of the ministry, comma, for the edifying of the body of Christ, leaving the impression that apostles, prophets, evangelists, and pastor teachers are to do three things. They are to equip the saints. Secondly, they are to do the work of the ministry. And thirdly, they are to build up the body of Christ. Now, that's not what it's teaching at all. What it is teaching is that these gifted men are to prepare the people of God, the saints. Now, a saint is anybody that has a relationship with Jesus. If you've been born by the Spirit of God into the family of God, the book says you're a saint. You may not feel like a saint. Your spouse or your children may say about you that you don't live like a saint. God's Word says you are one. The saints are the people of God, and the gifted men have as their primary ministry to equip the saints That's why God has placed me in this position. That's why God has placed any pastor in his pastorate, to equip the saints, to prepare God's people, that the people of God, that the saints might do the ministry. And as the saints go out in their day-to-day lives and minister the grace of the Lord Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit, the natural result of that is that the body of Christ might be built up. And that just leads me to say that the church is not an organization, it's an organism. And one of the things that we need to be careful about at this point is trying to over-organize the working of God. Now, there needs to be structure. And you need to have a goal that you're moving toward. You need to have a target that you're shooting at. We need these things. But if we're not careful, we can be so caught up in organization that we become muscle-bound and we can't ministry. Ministry is not something we do on Sunday morning or Sunday night or Thursday night or Tuesday morning. When a certain thing is set aside that the church does, ministry is what you do all the time. It's what you should be doing wherever you are in the name of Jesus. That's ministry. And all of us are ministers. Now, some churches have on their church sign the name of the man who fills the role of pastor, and they have beside his name the title minister. You'll notice on the sign out here, it says pastor. I didn't put the sign up there, but it says pastor. I'm glad it did. If it had said minister, I would ask whoever fixed it to change it. It has my name out there, and by that it has pastor. All of you are ministers. Every one of you. And if we're going to be honest, if we would put the name of the minister on the sign, we'd have to put it in very small letters, because when you put about, I don't know how many members we have, but several hundred, you know, if you put all that up there, then you have to put it real in tiny letters. So my announcement to you tonight is that you are a minister. Now, that's not a part of my sermon, but because it's been so long since we talked about this, we need to have a little review. Because this is foundational to everything we're talking about when we consider the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, the reason it's so foundational is because your particular spiritual gift or gifts, and I think most of us have a plurality of gifts. We have a gift mix. Churches have different gift mixes.